Welcome to today's unscheduled episode of the Retro Gaming Dads, where we'll be talking about Valve's brand new handheld, the Steam Deck.
Welcome to this special episode of Retro Gaming Dads, the weekly podcast for everything retro and retro-inspired. I'm Phil, and tonight it's just me and Barry.
Hello. So, we've had to put this episode together quite hastily because this handheld came out of nowhere.
It really did, didn't it? I mean, between actually announcing it and it going on pre-order, it's only been a couple of days, hasn't it?
I think it was the next day. It was yeah. Announced on the 15th. Pre-orders went up on the 16th. And my payment finally got through on the 17th. At least That's what it feels like.
Yeah, somehow, scalpers have managed to get a ton of them.
Oh, yeah, I had a quick look on eBay before, and they're going anywhere from like £900 to £2,000 already.
Considering Valve had this plan where, you know, you have to have an active Steam account, you have to have purchased so many games within such a period of time.
Yeah, you needed to have your account with a purchase on it before June of this year.
Yeah.
And if you didn't, then you wouldn't be able to pre-order it for the first 2 days. Doesn't mean people still can't pre-order it. Because it was only in the UK, it was only a £4 pre-order.
Yeah.
Potentially, people might go, tell you what, I'll pre-order it for £4, see if I can flog it on eBay for well above its price. If not, then I can just cancel my pre-order and get my £4 back.
Yeah, possibly.
Let's not talk about scalpers, because they're always going to scalp.
They are. I'm just impressed at how they've managed to get around Valve's pretty unique setup.
I don't think they have, because I've not seen anyone who's going, oh, we've got 10 available or anything.
Well,
like that.
Yeah, I suppose, actually, yeah.
It's just probably individuals.
Chances.
Yeah, just taking the chances, you say. But, oddly enough, we've talked about this exact thing multiple times on the podcast about a Windows-powered handheld and all the downfalls of them. And Valve seems to have taken one for the team and just, I don't know, I was amazed when I heard the price on this.
Yeah, the price is what sparks me as the most interesting, because they are really low cost for what they are. I'm still not 100% sure how good they're going to be in terms of graphical power and whether they're going to play the latest games.
Well, one way to look at it, the power of this console, it does vary because it can clock up and down depending on how much power it requires.
Yeah.
It's somewhere in the region of the Xbox One S and the PlayStation 4 console.
Which is reasonable.
Yes, that's significantly higher than what the Switch is.
Yeah.
Although that's the sort of graphical range that they're expecting to be hitting, it is using newer architecture. It's actually using the same sort of architecture of the new Xbox Series and the PlayStation 5 consoles.
Right.
So I think it's going to be able to leverage the improvements over the last 7 years since those original Xbox One and PlayStation 4 came out anyway. So I wouldn't be surprised if you saw games looking better than it does on previous gen consoles.
Well, that'll be good to see.
Plus, on top of that, you also have, they are PC games, so you can customize it. Do you want your game to look a little bit better at the sake of frame rate, or do you want to downgrade the graphics a bit because you want to hit that 60 frames per second? Plus, on top of that, the screen is essentially a 720p screen. It's actually 1280 by 800, so it's got a little bit more resolution, but for all intents and purposes, you may as well treat it as a 720p screen. Again, as we've said about the Nintendo Switch, for a handheld, that's perfectly adequate.
It'll be perfectly fine as a handheld. Yes. My main concern was going to be, how long is the thing going to run on batteries?
Well, they're stating 2 to 8 hours, depending on the game. So if you're playing something like Cuphead, probably looking more up towards the higher end of that. If you're looking at playing something like Control, probably the lower end of the
mark,
They did actually specify that Portal 2 run on high settings got 4 hours of battery life. When they lowered the frame rate down to a locked 30 frames per second, they got an extra 1 or 2 hours out of it. So, 6 hour range.
So, it's all right then. We're talking similar sort of spec at the higher end to the Switch.
In terms of battery life?
Yeah.
Yeah, because again, the Switch, especially the original Switches that we have, Nintendo were talking 3 to 5 hours on games. So if you're playing, say, Breath of the Wild, a more demanding game, you're going to be looking towards that 3 hours.
Yeah, so the battery life's not too bad when you compare it to the most similar sort of thing that we've got out there, the Switch.
Yeah. And it's the same sort of range as a lot of these other Windows handheld systems that have been released.
Yeah.
However, they tend to have slightly larger batteries, but the screen resolution's much higher, so it's draining more battery power there. And the thing with that is they've got these lovely high-resolution screens, but the specs cannot drive a game at that resolution. So then you're playing it at a lower resolution. It's now not the native resolution of the screen, so it looks a bit muddy and a bit smeared. So I think Valve's made a really good decision with the screen that they're going with. 7-inch, 720p.
Yeah, I can definitely see the reasoning behind that one. I mean, it gives you, as you say, native resolutions rather than having to downscale it, and it's not draining as much battery. Also, it's going to keep the cost a bit lower so that they can hit the really impressive price points that they're talking.
They must be taking a massive hit on these prices.
Yeah.
I saw the announcement video. It was announced, I think it was IGN were the ones who kind of like broke the news of it. And I was like, this looks really impressive. And I was thinking, £800. I reckon it's going to be £800. And it popped up £349. I was like, what? I was like, that is Switch money.
It really is. Though you're only getting 64 gig of storage on that. But admittedly, it's eMMC storage, which is still pretty good.
Which is the same as what you're getting on the Switch OLED?
Yeah. No disagreements there.
Yeah.
And it is expandable, which is handy.
Yes.
But even the larger sizes are still pretty reasonable for price-wise.
Yeah, I think it's roughly £110 for each step in storage. So you can go from 64 gig eMMC, which is essentially a memory card that's being used as your storage.
Yeah.
If you then pay £110 or so, you'll go up to 256 gig of NVMe storage. So straight away, that's going to be much faster and you're getting 4 times the capacity. Then another £110 or so will get you 512 gig of NVMe storage. Now, apparently, this is even faster than the NVMe in the 256 gig.
Oh, right. So it's not just a storage bump, it is actually a speed bump as well.
Yes. The higher end one as well also gets etched glass, so it reduces reflections on it massively.
Oh, right. Okay. Even though at 569, that's still dead reasonable for what you're getting.
Absolutely. I think for most people, though, the 256 gig would probably be the one that they go for.
Yeah, I reckon that's going to be the popular choice.
Yes, I have pre-ordered, and I spent 2 hours trying to pre-order. Well, not 2 hours trying to pre-order. 2 hours just trying to check out.
I imagine the site was busy.
I eventually went for the 64 gig version, and I'm already regretting it.
Okay.
It wasn't necessarily for the price. It was the fact that the shipping dates on the other two versions have gone into like the third quarter of next year.
Which by that point, the revisions will be out.
Yeah.
So what's the point? Sure, they're going to have more stock available by then. But then again,
I hope the stock comes further, because even mine's been shown as pushed into next year, not December. And I was on the website. The second it went 6 o'clock, I refreshed it and the buttons appeared to reserve. And the website just didn't work. And when I managed to get it to reserve, I literally spent about an hour and a half just trying to check out. I got all sorts of errors. At one point, it was saying I'd made too many purchases in the last couple of hours and to try again later.
Oh, well, we mentioned the storage. It's worth perhaps covering the specs on these things.
Yes, well, the good thing is, unlike a lot of these handhelds where as you pay more money, the specs get better. So they might have like a entry-level SKU, which even in itself is usually £600 or so.
Yeah.
The specs remain the same on all of these versions. So at the heart of this console, do we call it a console actually?
That's a fair question. I don't know what we'd call it because it's a handheld PC maybe.
Yeah, I think just for sake of easiness, I think I'm just going to keep calling it a console from here on out.
Yeah, that's fair.
When you get it, it does run a custom version of Linux, which is SteamOS 3.
Right.
So you do get a very console-like experience from it. But Valve had said it's not locked down. You can run any compatible OS, including Windows. However, on the 64 gig version, I don't think that's really going to be feasible.
No, I mean, most of it's already been taken up by Windows on its own.
It will. And I'd be interested to see how well or how poorly games run from the micro SD card. Definitely need to get a high-speed one.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So, going to the specs. At the heart of it, it's a custom AMD APU based on Zen 2 architecture. And it's 4 cores and 8 threads. So, right. A fairly decent, low-powered processor.
Yeah, it's nothing to be sniffed at.
Yes, as we mentioned earlier, graphics power-wise, it's somewhere in the region of an Xbox One S to a PlayStation 4, but it is much newer architecture than what was on those consoles. Same architecture again, RDNA 2, I think it is, which is the same as the current Xbox Series S, X, and PlayStation 5.
Yep.
So you should get some good graphics out of this, especially at that 720, 800p sort of resolution. On top of that, you've got all the usual bits like built-in Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, you've got a USB-C port which can handle video out.
Yep. But it's a nice idea that you'd be able to potentially dock it almost like a Switch.
Yes.
If you wanted to have it on a larger display.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've even said that you can buy the dock that they are going to bring it out, but you can just use any off-the-shelf USB-C dock.
Which would be good.
Yeah. Sync Xbox controllers up over Bluetooth, connect it up to the TV using an inexpensive dock, and that's it right away.
Yeah.
On top of that, you do have built-in gyroscope as well, which they have shown working on some games similar to how a lot of Switch games use it, where you can make your gross movements using the analog stick, but when you come down to those very fine movements to get the headshots, use the gyroscope. So that looks pretty cool. The console also has analog shoulder buttons, which a lot of these type systems don't include in the Switch.
Right.
So if you're playing a racing game, you know, you can apply the brakes or the acceleration a bit heavier. On the back, you also have 8 programmable buttons, similar to the Xbox Elite controllers.
That's cool.
So that's built in. You do also have 2, they look like little trackpads, mouse trackpads as well.
Yeah, these are similar to the Steam controller, aren't they? Where yes, it kind of works a lot like a
2 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works a lot like a mouse trackpad, doesn't it?
Yes. Very similar to a mouse trackpad. It looks pretty impressive. Again, at that price, starting at £349.
It is the price that really shocks.
Yes. Now, I do think, realistically, the 64 gigabytes, even though that's the one that I have pre-ordered, I think that's only actually been made to hit that really low price to generate buzz around it.
Yeah, maybe.
Realistically, if I could go and get one of these now and they were all available, I'd probably go for the 256 gig version.
Yeah, you're not going to go too far wrong with that. I mean, if you wanted to change to Windows, you could do.
Yes.
You could keep it running on Steam easy enough. You've got enough storage for a few games on there. So you don't need to worry too much about swapping over to micro SD.
Yes. Just talking about Windows, though. I'll say you can install Windows onto this if you wish. But Steam is aiming, before this is launched, to have nearly 100% compatibility with the console. So even though it's running Linux, they're looking at using the software to actually get all of the games running. At the moment, I think they can get a lot of games running, but ones that have anti-cheat software is the issue.
Oh, yeah.
So they're actually working with the top so many developers to actually get those games ported across to Linux.
Right, okay. I think where Windows is going to win, if you will, in terms of compatibility, is going to be other games. So if you've got games that aren't on Steam, which, okay, yeah, there's not that many of, But like, for example, if you have a lot of your games in the Epic Game Store, you'll still be able to play it.
Yeah, well, they actually touched on that. So if you install Windows, there's nothing to stop you installing Epic Game Store or using Xbox Game Pass games on it.
Woo!
So there is a lot of freedom. Actually, just really quick, we even forgot to mention this memory on this, the RAM.
Yeah.
So it's actually 16 gig of low-powered DDR5 RAM.
See, DDR5 in this thing, that's impressive, because...
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
They are definitely losing money on these. There's no way they're making money on these with the hardware.
Well, have you seen the interview with Gabe that IGN done?
No.
Right, well, they bring up what was important, and he's basically saying the experience needs to be important, but on top of that, the price needs to be right. And he looks like he's dying inside as he's talking about the price points that they're hitting. So I honestly believe that they are losing money on this and hoping to make it back
in game sales and the like.
Yes, Steam purchases. Because I think even if someone puts Windows on this, they're still going to stick Steam on.
Of course they are. Of course they are. I mean, the people who use other game stores will still have a Steam library.
In all fairness, if I got one that I could stick Windows on, I had enough storage to do it, I'd only do it for Game Pass and Steam.
Yeah.
That's the only two places I have games. I do have some in Epic Games Store, but not many, like one or two.
But this said, I imagine SteamOS has a version of Chrome available.
Yeah, it's got a web browser on it. I don't know if it's Chromium-based, so I don't know if you can use game streaming, if that's where you were going.
I'd be really surprised if it's not Chromium-based. Most browsers on Linux are Chromium.
Possibly. I just don't know.
Theoretically, might work without changing to Windows.
Yeah. After this, Phil will stop banging on about Game Pass coming across, or game streaming coming across to the Switch.
Well, yeah. Here's a question, though. Does it have... Well, it's not got any data connectivity, has it? It's only got Wi-Fi.
No, unfortunately, that was something that was brought up. There is only Wi-Fi versions available. There's no cellular option.
Which, to be honest, with everything that's already packed in there, it's understandable.
Yes. And bear in mind, this console is quite chunky.
Yeah. It is that.
It's about quarter wider again than the Switch.
Right.
And it's not the lightest system. So it's just shy of 670 grams. Now, if you compare that to the Switch, which is 400, and the Switch OLED, which is 420 grams, including the Joy-Cons.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a chunky boy, isn't it?
Yes. In all fairness, I don't think that's far off the weight of my iPad. And I can comfortably hold my iPad for a while.
Now, here is a question. I wonder what the heat generation is going to be like on this thing.
I don't know. It has a fairly sizable intake on the back and exhaust along the top. So at least it's pushing the heat away from you as well.
Yeah. But it's always something you've got to consider with stuff like this.
It is. Again, I think this is... It's a very low-powered APU.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the actual heat generation will be from it. A lot of these systems tend to use standard laptop CPUs or APUs. Or
this has got graphics. A custom APU, hasn't it? So that could help quite a lot.
Yeah. Everything else seems pretty well thought out, so I can't see them dropping the ball with that. I'm actually quite excited to get one, have a go of it. I've had a couple of handheld PCs in the past. I think one of them was the... Oh, what was that Windows one called? The Lynx?
Was it the Lynx? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking
Unfortunately, the controller on that wasn't comfortable at all.
Yeah.
It was like two cylinders with your buttons all attached to it.
This is where there is potentially a bit of worry, because the Steam controller wasn't great.
Oh, see, I've never used one, but I've heard that loads of people absolutely loved it.
Oh, I've heard there was a bit of a love-hate relationship with a lot of people where they either loved it or hated it.
I heard there was a little bit of a learning curve, but overall, I've heard quite positive things about it.
fair enough. All that's with time we'll have to tell. But the fact that it's getting a release back end of this year.
Yeah. Again.
Where's this coming from?
It came out of nowhere at a fantastic price. And it's coming, like, this year.
Yeah.
Another example of a system similar to this was the Alienware one.
Yeah.
Was it called the Alienware UFO or
something like that? Yeah, but wasn't that like Grand Plus?
Don't know. 2 years ago that was announced, and we haven't heard anything since.
Right, well, yeah.
But I think Valve's plan with this is a bit like Microsoft did with the Surface when it originally came out. Wasn't necessarily to capture the market with this system. It's to encourage other manufacturers to start releasing similar systems. Because they're allowing them to put SteamOS on the systems. So obviously from then, if more manufacturers start making these sort of systems, you know, as technology progresses year after year after year, more of these type of systems come out with SteamOS on it, they're going to be getting their revenue from that.
Yeah.
So I think that's the plan. More to kind of like put a fire under the asses of other manufacturers to make good handheld gaming PCs.
It is. I think the Switch is to blame for these.
Yes. The popularity of these sort of systems has exploded since Switch came out.
Oh, yes. Though we've got to say, it is very reminiscent of a former handheld console.
Well, everyone's joking, saying they should have called it the Gabe Gear.
Yeah, they missed an opportunity.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't really think it looks that much like a Game Gear.
I can see it.
It's landscape orientation and it's black. That's about as far as I can go.
No, I see it. I think if the Game Gear was released late nowadays, it'd look quite similar.
It's like, let's hope that the battery life's better than the Game Gear.
It's like the Game Gear that came back from the future.
Yeah. Game Gear 2000.
Well, yeah, I think that covers about everything we were going to mention about the thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Just before we go, so what do you think this is going to take many sales away from the Switch?
Honestly, no.
No, don't think so. Not even.
No, I don't think it's going to impact the Switch.
Not think a lot of people who were looking at getting a Switch OLED have seen this, but you know what? For an extra 40 quid.
I think people who already have Switches, who are probably on the fence anyway, are going to see this and go, you know what, I'm getting that instead.
Yeah.
Though I don't think it's going to stop people who are looking at getting a Switch when it comes out with the OLED. I honestly think they're aiming at different markets, because Nintendo have always sold heavily based on the proprietary games.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. However, I must admit, I have pre-ordered this for two reasons. Reason number one, PSO2, wherever I want. I don't have to wait for Elliot to allow me to use my own TV to play a bit of PSO2.
Yeah, that's fair.
Number two, emulation.
Yeah, this is one thing I can see being very, very handy.
Yes.
Emulation on these things.
Especially with the amount of buttons on it, you could emulate pretty much anything.
Virtual Boy?
It'll easily run Virtual Boy games.
Not quite the native experience, though, where you've got a plastic thing stuck to your face.
No, if you go play Virtual Boy, you want the full experience of the crippling migraines.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely.
They were very coy. Another question that was asked for them is it VR capable? To which they said,
why would anyone think
that's
that?
It's got the right connections, but that's not what we intend it for.
I genuinely cannot. Why would you want to run VR on something like this?
Well, if it could, let's just say if, because I don't know if it is powerful enough or not. If it could, and you have something like the Oculus Quest that I've got, that only requires a USB-C port.
Yeah.
To connect to one cable. PC VR, completely untethered if you stick this in a backpack.
Yeah, there's potential there, but you already, well, yeah.
Depends on
VR.
I don't
think it's got the grunt. I don't think it's got the grunt for it.
I don't think it's going to for high end. But
no.
I would imagine it's more powerful than something like my Quest.
It's something interesting. that it'd be worth seeing once it comes out, but I wouldn't get it with the voice of, I'm going to do VR with this thing.
Absolutely not. I would not buy this as your VR system.
If you want untethered VR, Quest 2.
Oh, yeah. I think anyone who's buying this should definitely be buying it in the mindset of it being a console rather than a portable PC. Because although it'd be nice to dock it, connect it to your computer, you could put Windows on it, it's not really a portable PC. And imagine trying to use Windows on that low resolution.
No, you couldn't. It is designed first and foremost as a gaming device.
Yes.
It's not been designed with, oh, look, you can also dock it and connect a keyboard and mouse and a monitor and work away as well. No, it's a gaming device.
I think when I receive mine, I will keep SteamOS on it, especially with it only having 64 gigs.
Yeah.
Unless I can install Windows to a partition, maybe on the memory card, in which case I might do that if I can dual boot it between the two.
Yeah.
But I think SteamOS is probably won't go keep it.
Yeah.
Is it something that maybe in the future might interest you?
Potentially.
I think that's all we've really got to talk about for now. We just wanted to get this podcast out there so that we weren't 2 weeks late on this news by the time we actually get round to doing our next episode.
Yeah, exactly, because this one came out of the blue.
it certainly did. And this was it the day after we'd done the podcast?
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
It's always the case. Always the case. All the exciting stuff just after we do the podcast.
Well, that's it for this episode. If you'd like to see more information on anything mentioned during this podcast, you can visit us at retrogamingdads.co.uk. You can also support the podcast and get ad-free episodes at patreon.com/retrogamingdads. We've been the Retro Gaming Dads, and we'll see you next week.
Really, I just want this for emulation and PSO.
Just so you can sit on your sofa. And
yeah, well, I was thinking more on the loo, but yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was keeping it clean, but yeah.
Oh, we're free.
Clearly, you sat on the loo with this thing. You're not keeping it clean.
Yeah, I am. What do you think I'm doing? Spraying everywhere. No, I. This will be cut out.